Our reading this morning is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. It's on page 965 in the Bibles. And of course, it's a hugely familiar part of the Bible at this time of year. So Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. One of our friends a number of years ago had a very fraught lady come running up to her at Christmas time, and she said to her friend, "I could kill whoever invented Christmas." Well, we actually did, didn't we? Whatever else we think about Christmas, we need to remember Christmas is about Jesus. And we need to get back to that. We need to focus on that. So for a wee while, forget about the presents you haven't bought yet, or haven't sent, or haven't wrapped. Forget about the cards you haven't handed out yet or sent away yet. Forget about what you're going to be eating or what you've already eaten in preparation for this coming celebration. Forget about all these things. And let's just, for this time together this morning, focus on what Christmas is ultimately about. Because Christmas is all about Jesus. It's interesting that Matthew, in his gospel, is not all that bothered too much with the lead up to the Christmas story. He doesn't give us all that much detail, really. He's much more concerned about defending the honour of Jesus and his family. We know that Matthew wrote his gospel particularly with Jews in mind. And so it has a bit of a different focus to some of the other Gospels that tell us about the Christmas story. He's very concerned to put Jesus smack in the centre of God's plans for our salvation and for our forgiveness. We need to focus our minds this morning on Jesus. Here's a shopper's psalm. "I'm weary, Lord, bone tired. In spite of that much shopping's half done, I need to crash. The crash of the crowd has got into me. So too the deafening sounds of a pre-Christmas city throbbing with incarnate greed. I need to be reminded that this season's more than plastic Santa's perpetual sales. I need back on the track of reflection. I've derailed, Lord. My emotional fuel is leaking. I'm about to explode." And then I see it. a miniature creche in a gift shop window, a guardian father, a grateful young mum, a baby asleep on the hay, a trio maintaining their harmony despite the discord all around them, and with my nose pressed against the frosted pane, my inner pain subsides. At once I'm rested, renewed and revived, and I linger and ponder God's peace. So this morning, we're focusing on Jesus. And the first thing Matthew has to tell us is that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's two fundamental things to tell us, two things we all know very well about Jesus. That Jesus was born of Mary. Jesus is a man. But at the same time, he wants to tell us that Jesus is born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. He's a man and he's God. Two fundamental things. So let's just think about these two things, first of all, in turn. Jesus is described throughout the scriptures as the Son of Man. No one disputes that he was the child of Mary. He was born of a woman in the normal way. He came out of her just exactly as any baby comes out of any other woman. He was born of our flesh, of our bones. He was born absolutely naturally. He was the Son of Man. He is a man. He is a human. He is like us. He came into the world helpless, naked, in that sense, hungry, crying, just the same as us. Needed nappies, just the same as us. He was a complete human being. Bible tells us that over and over again. And we need to gasp at the wonder of that. Because this baby, this naked, helpless baby, is God. God who comes into our world. God who comes here to be with us. God who comes so close you could touch him if he were around at the time that Jesus was around. God who comes. And because God comes as a man, as a baby, as a human into this world, whenever you face some dilemma, some ghastly situation, you can say this: God's been there. God's been here. God knows exactly what this is in my life at the moment. We have a God who came to see what it's like to be us, to be in our lives and in our situations. Somebody wrote this: to get ready for Christmas, God undressed. God stripped off his finery and appeared, how embarrassing, naked on the day he was born. God could not be God with us if he wasn't flesh. We've focused too often on the saving death of Jesus and throwing the incarnation out with our Christmas paper. We need to focus again on this Jesus who came into our world, human, like us in every respect. There was a famous psychiatrist in New York known as John Rosen. He became famous for his work with catatonic schizophrenics. Normally, doctors remain separate and aloof from their patients, but Dr. Rosen moved into the ward with them. He had a bed for himself placed in the ward. He lived with them in that hospital. Day to day, he shared with them. He loved them. He was right there. But he did something else than just living with them. He would often hug them, put his arms around them. People who were unlovable, incontinent, unattractive in so many ways. But he would hug them. And very often the only words they would ever speak to him were the words, "Thank you." That's what Jesus did for us at Christmas. He moved into the ward with us. That's what it means when he became a human being. He placed his bed among our beds. He's there to hug us. He's there to be with us. And it's our job at Christmas just to say these two simple words. Thank you, Jesus, who came into our world as a man. But Jesus, as we know, is more than a man. He is not just Son of Man. He is also Son of God. And this is Matthew's main concern at this part of his gospel. Doesn't focus so much on the humanity of Jesus, but rather on the question of who was Jesus' dad? That's the question he wants to communicate to his Jewish audience. Now, if we'd taken time to read the first 17 verses of the chapter, we would have learned something. Because the first 17 verses is a list of people from Abraham right down to Joseph. And in every sentence it says things like, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah. And so on and so on. So-and-so was the father of, so-and-so was the father of, so-and-so was the father of, until he gets to verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Stop short, you see, of saying that Joseph was the father of Jesus. Builds the whole expectation up. You're waiting for it. Who is Jesus' dad? Not Joseph, he says. Joseph was just the adopted dad. Because the real father of Jesus was, of course, the Holy Spirit. And that's what he says in today's opening verse. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Clearly, Matthew wants to put that down in writing right away. People would be spreading all sorts of stories about Mary and what sort of woman she must have been to get pregnant when she was just engaged to Joseph. He wants to put it down in black and white. Yes, she was pregnant when she was engaged to Joseph, but Joseph wasn't the dad. It was the Holy Spirit, because God was the father of Jesus Christ. And so it's very important that we grasp that. You see, if Jesus wasn't man, he couldn't save us. And if Jesus wasn't God, he couldn't save us. He has to be both. When you commit a sin, you might think, well, it's no very much. I'll just say I'm sorry and it'll be fine. Or I'll do something better and that'll make up for it. And we don't understand that even one little lie is a sin against God, who is eternal. And the just punishment for a sin against an eternal God is an eternal punishment. Who can take our place? Who can take that punishment for us? Nobody but someone who is in himself eternal. We need a God to die for us, to pay the full price for our sin. So it's absolutely fundamental and absolutely crucial that Jesus was born of God, that Jesus is God, and that Jesus could take our place and take the eternal punishment for our sin, for us. So the first big thing that Matthew wants us to understand is that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, that he was born of the Spirit of God, that yes, he is man fully, like us in every respect, but also that he is, in fact, God, God's Son, born, begotten of God. Now, Matthew goes on to tell us something else important about Jesus. He goes on to tell us that Jesus was adopted by an obedient father. He's an adopted son. It's not a natural son of Joseph. But Joseph takes on the role of being the adopted father of Jesus Christ. And so there are some lessons here for us, some lessons particularly for any dads that are here this morning. But I always think if it's a lesson for a dad, it's also a lesson for a mum, because both have the same responsibilities in bringing up their children. So why was Joseph chosen to be the adopted father of Jesus? What kind of dad should you aspire to be? What kind of mother should you aspire to be? I think there's three things Matthew highlights for us in the character of Joseph. First thing is, he was a righteous father. He is described there as a righteous man because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph got a big shock, you see, because he was engaged to Mary. And then word came out, she probably told him, that she was pregnant. And he knew it wasn't him. He hadn't been near her in that sense. And he had the right at that point to divorce her because engagement at that time was a much stronger thing than it is in our society. It was almost like being married. You had to be divorced if you were engaged and decide to break it up. And so being a nice man, a righteous man, he thought, I'll do it quietly. I'll not make a big fuss about this. And I'll put her aside quietly. But you see, it tells us there, he was a righteous man. And the word righteous is far more than just being nice. We've all got to be nice if we love Jesus. We've got to be nice dads and nice mums. But being righteous is a lot more than just being nice. Being righteous is being right with God. Being righteous is having a relationship with God. Being righteous is knowing that you can't do anything to deal with your own sin, that you need God to deal with it. Being righteous is knowing that you need a Saviour. And it seems to me that Joseph must have been that kind of man. A man who knew that without God's grace, without God's forgiveness, without the gift of faith, there was no way he could be right with God. But he's described here as a righteous man. That's a challenge to all of us, whoever we are this morning, because whoever we are, we need to find a way to be right with God. And the only way to be right with God is through Jesus. Through trusting in him, through confessing sin, through repenting of sin, through reaching out to him, through asking him to clothe us with his righteousness. So first of all, Joseph became the adopted father of Jesus because he was a righteous father. Second thing we learn about him is he was a listening father. No surprise to us that this man who had made a priority of his relationship with God found time from time to time to listen to God. It was no surprise to us that if he was a man who was right with God, that God would sometimes have a chat with him. God would sometimes have something to say to him. And so it proved in this instance. There he was thinking, I'll have to just quietly divorce Mary. When God began to speak to him, God spoke to him in a dream. God spoke to him through an angel. And what's lovely is, of course, that Joseph was actually listening and so heard what God was saying to him. It's so important that if we are going to be God's people, that we're a listening people, listening for the voice of God. I've said it often when I'm preaching, I don't care if you go out from this church today and forget everything I have said, except one thing. Whatever it is that God said to you. Because hopefully somewhere in all the words of 20, 25 minutes blethering away up here, there might be something that connects with you this morning. And you know that's God. Because you've been listening. And so we have to become a people who are listening to God. God spoke to Joseph and said, it's okay for you to take Mary as your wife. The baby's mine. The baby was born in her, conceived in her of the Holy Spirit. When, by the way, when that baby's born, and it's going to be a boy, so you'll be pleased about that. Because boys are better than girls, aren't they? In most societies they are, unfortunately, but nevertheless, when that wee boy's born, you've to call him Jesus. You're not getting to pick the name. I'm picking the name. And the name has to be Jesus. Here's a parent, an adopted parent, who's someone who listens to God. Can't ask anything better of a mother or father than to have a mother or father who listens to God, who seeks his face every morning, who seeks to hear what he's got to say to that family. He was a righteous father. He was a listening father. And thirdly, of course, he was an obedient father. For we discover that once he had heard what God had said to him in the dream, he got up and he did it. He took Mary to be his wife. He didn't have any sex with her until the baby was born, it tells us. Now, God didn't say you've not to have any sex with her. He didn't say that, but he didn't. He took that on board because there was to be no confusion about whose child this was. So he waited until Jesus was born. Roman Catholics say Mary was always a virgin, but it doesn't look like it here, does it? The Bible contradicts that. The Bible says no. Once Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary continued with their married life. He obeyed God in marrying her, and he obeyed God in giving that child the name God had told him to give it. He called him Jesus. An obedient father. An obedient parent. You see, there's no point in just listening and then not doing what God says. It's very easy to listen, but we've got to obey. Righteous, listening, obedient. That's the kind of parents we need to be. That's the kind of father, the kind of mother we need to strive to become. Jesus had an adopted father. Righteous, listening, and obedience. And that's the kind of person we need to become this morning. So Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was adopted by a righteous father. The third major thing he tells us, Matthew tells us, that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's dreams. Because God had dreams. God had plans. God had dreams and plans for the world in which we live. And Matthew wants to tell us, and he particularly wants to tell his Jewish audience, that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's specific plans. He quotes Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 here, doesn't he? The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There, hundreds and hundreds of years before Isaiah wrote these words, and now they're fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. God didn't just wake up one morning and think, what am I going to do about all the bad people down there? Before he even made us, he had his plans in place. The Bible tells us that. From before the beginning of time, he had his plans to send someone, his son, into the world to be our Saviour. And Matthew tells us that. It was revealed. Isaiah revealed it in these words. Now folks get all hot and bothered about that verse. They begin to say, but does the word virgin in Isaiah's day really mean the word virgin that we mean it now? Doesn't it matter? We know that this is a prophecy about Jesus, and that Jesus is the fulfillment of it. And some folks say, but wasn't that verse fulfilled somewhere along the line in the history of the Jews, and we just don't know when or who it was? Well, maybe. But it was also fulfilled by Jesus. Because often Old Testament prophecy has a double fulfillment, historically at the time, and then much, much later on. What is important is that Matthew wants us to understand Jesus wasn't an accident. He wasn't an afterthought of God. He wasn't an emergency escape route. He was planned. He was dreamed of. Jesus was the fulfillment of Jesus, of God's dreams and God's plan. Somebody wrote, praise God for Christmas, praise him for the incarnation, for the word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bear in Bethlehem, of lowing oxen, wise men trailing star with gold, frankincense and myrrh. Tonight I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and then Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite eternal Son who became most finite, a baby who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the stable. Praise him in my heart. Jesus, the fulfiller of God's plans. Jesus, who is, of course, the Saviour of his people. That's what the word Jesus means. Jesus means he saves. Not in the Bank of Scotland. Not in Barclays. No, it doesn't mean that, does it? Saves us from our sin. Saves us from Satan. Saves us from hell. Saves us from guilt. Saves us from shame. Saves us from wasting our lives. Saves us from fear. Saves us from all these things. He said, Jesus, who came that we might know salvation in all its fullness. Jesus is the Saviour of his people. But Matthew has one last secret up his sleeve, doesn't he, as he quotes there from Isaiah chapter 7. Because he also tells us from that verse that Jesus is, of course, the God who is with us. It's Isaiah who tells us that Jesus would also be called Emmanuel. This word that means God with us. And that's the wonder of what we celebrate at Christmas. The wonder of a God who comes here to be with us. There's no other God like that. In all the other religions of the world, a God that is worshipped is a way up there to be feared, to be avoided, to be worked up towards. Never in any other religion is there this God that comes here to be with us. The Emmanuel God. God who is with us. There were some American soldiers in the war when the last days of the war wandered into a French village and discovered an orphanage. And it was Christmas Eve. And they thought, let's get some stuff together and go to the orphanage to cheer up all the children. So they managed to get toys and sweeties and sorts of things like that and went along to the orphanage and they were dishing them out to all the children in the orphanage. Except there was one wee girl that was holding back. She was away at the back in the corner. Just a few days before, her parents had been killed and there she was still away at the back. Eventually one of them went up to her and said, "Why don't you come and join the party? Come, we've got toys, we've got sweets and everything. Don't you want that? What would you like?" He said. She said, "I just want a hug." And that's what our God is. Someone, whatever hurt there is in your life, whatever disappointment, whatever fear there is a God who comes and will say to us, "What would you like?" And you can say, "I just want a hug, God." And he will be the God who comes and holds us and hugs us and keeps us because he is the Emmanuel God, the God who is with us wherever and whatever. This is the Jesus that we celebrate this Christmas. And we need to open our hearts to him and to only him.